Morning, everybody. Great to see you here this morning. I'm going to draw your attention to a few things here. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings in just a moment. In your worship guide, if this is your first time here with us today, there's a connection card that it would be terrific if you would pull this out, fill it out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by. That would be spectacular. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings now, and let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church and for everything you're doing in the lives of the people that are here. I pray that you continue that work of making us more and more like you. Lord, right now we just pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and bless this service, Father. Teach us something new about you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers. In your worship guide also is a sheet that says Pathway Happenings that draws your attention to a few things that are coming up at our church. More information about those things as we go. One thing that's not in your worship guide is this coming Saturday, there's a women's breakfast at 9:30. And it's at the urgent care, the Oro Valley Urgent Care meeting room right down here on Oracle. And so we invite any of you ladies to come on out to the breakfast next Saturday morning. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we want you guys there. Also, we have connection groups that meet throughout the week. So you can stop by our resource table, get more information about that on your way out the door. If you're looking for something midweek to get plugged into, form relationships, get to know your church family a little better, connection groups are a great way to do that. There's just small groups that meet in people's homes during the week. Make sure you read through the rest of your worship guide as well. There's a lot of good information in here, a lot of ways we want you guys involved, we want you guys plugged in, and I encourage you to do that. All right, thanks a lot.
Are we live? Hey, here we go. Cool. All right, everybody. Let's open our words, word to Genesis chapter 12 this morning. I want to talk to you from the life of Abraham. This morning we have some good friends from the North Coast, Greg and Barb Morris. Raise your hand just really quickly. So I was just thinking this morning on the way to church, aside from Mindy and my parents, I've known them longer than anyone else that I know here. It's been 17 years since we've been friends, and we were on staff together in Eureka. They were children's pastors and then youth pastors. They're now senior pastors in Fortuna. But I was thinking this morning about the first time that we actually preached. I think it was his first time too. But our pastor was doing a series through the whole Bible. He was doing like each week a new book of the Bible, and he was gone one weekend, and there was three or four of us. I think there was four of us that had an assignment to preach on Philippians, and I think I had the Saturday night service maybe, but all week long I was just grilling over how am I going to preach this sermon, and I was kind of cheating off him a little bit. Each of us pastors had a different. There's four services each weekend, and we had a different service, but my sermon ended up being about 12 minutes long, and we ended church about 10 minutes early, and then these guys, they were preaching really long sermons and stuff, and it's taken me about 16 years to finally develop that, so I even take my watch off these days, but those were good times, good memories, and it's good to have them here with us. We've been talking for the last several weeks about living a life that is blessed by God, and we've been asking him to bless us and give us his supernatural favor that goes before us and surrounds us. And if you think about someone in the Bible that truly was blessed by God, in fact, God had a deliberate statement to him, I will bless you, we know that that person is Abraham. In fact, if you look at Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3, if you have that, and it's right here behind me too, this is what God said to Abraham. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Let me just, about 10 chapters later, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, they desire a son because they know that they're going to have this blessing. And God says to them in Genesis 22:7, God says this, he says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. This is a huge blessing. God promises this to Abraham. He makes a covenant with him. And then for many, many years, Abraham doesn't see anything happening. He's got this promise of blessing, and it's just not taking place. And maybe for us this morning, what happens when you know God's promises, but they don't seem to be taking hold? What happens when you know God wants to bless your life, but maybe you see yourself against an impossible situation? And what we find is Abraham's journey is pretty inspiring. Right now for our church and for our individual lives, we're in some really crazy times, all of us. And I know that this promise of blessing to Abraham has some direct relevance to our own lives. And so we see Abraham with this amazing promise, this promise of blessing. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And you have to remember, in Bible days, the more descendants you have, it has a thing of status. Even in the Eastern world today, or in even countries like India, you're defined by your relatives and your descendants and how many children you have. It's a neat thing. So here you've got Abraham and Sarah, but you have a major problem. A major problem is that Sarah is barren, and she can't become pregnant. So obviously there's a major obstacle to this blessing. You're promised to have his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, but you can't even have one baby. Do you see how that's a tad problematic? And year after year passes, and no baby on the way. And often when we don't see the blessing that we know God wants to give us, we either lose faith and even hope, or we get impatient and we kind of take matters into our own hands with it. And we're going to see that's what Abraham does. In fact, if you'd flip over to Genesis 15, one thing I believe that God wants to teach us this morning is that his timing is most of the time different than our timing. In fact, last week I mentioned to you that there was a meeting place that we had the potential of acquiring, the Wycliffe Center, and I had every intention of being able to walk up to this podium this morning. I had pictured this in my mind. I was going to come up here and say, everybody, look around. This is our last Sunday here. And the setup crew would have a woo-hoo-hoo, let's party, you know. We'd have a big barbecue, and I kind of pictured this whole thing in my mind. It's going to happen, but we have to remember this, and this is not only for our church, but for your individual life. God's timing is usually quite different than your timing, because God has things that he's trying to orchestrate in our lives, things he's trying to teach us, things he wants us to mature in, things he wants to do to build our character and our, develop us into the people that he wants us to become. And as you mature as a believer, this is something we must get down, that God's timing is different than our timing. And this is what Genesis 15 says, starting with verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? This is Abraham's top servant, and the custom of the day is, if you have no heir, your oldest, your eldest, your most respected servant gets your estate. And verse 3, it says, "And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" And then verse 6 says, "Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Abraham believed the Lord. This is very, very hard, everybody, for us to really, truly get down. A lot of times we do it, you know, we say we believe God, we're trusting in God, but it's got to come from that place in our heart to where we truly believe God and his word, and we don't waver in that belief, that faith. And it says, Abraham believed the Lord. And this is the key to living a life of faith, the life that we're called to live. This is the key to inheriting God's supernatural favor and his blessings over our life. It's believing the Lord. And this is what needs to be said of us in our daily life. Dick believed the Lord for that job. Jonathan believed the Lord for that job. Irma believed, you know, and it's Tara believed the Lord. This is what we've got to get in our spirit to where we say, "Yes, I'm believing the Lord, and it's going to be to my bank account in heaven as righteousness." This is the right way to live, to truly put my trust and faith in God. Because, listen, this is what a lot of times happens. We waver. And you'll see even with Abraham in chapter 15, 11 years later, he's now 86, and God repeats this promise, "I'm still going to do it." But Abraham is getting impatient. And a lot of times, the first thing we do is we doubt. We doubt God's word. We know in theology we're to believe, but we begin doubting that word. And Genesis 15:8, Abraham says, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" He's, "How do I know this? Give me a sign, something." He's beginning to doubt a little bit. Another thing we do is we get really discouraged. I was discouraged this week when I was told that we weren't getting that place, because I thought this is the ideal place for our church, and discouragement sets in. I was real discouraged this fall when a couple families who were really close with us, they decided to leave Pathway of Hope. It cut my heart. I mean, I just felt the pain for a long time, and it just discourages me, because I know that the Lord has told us that Pathway of Hope is going to reach out to many, many people. And we want to be going up in our numbers and not down in our numbers. And man, discouragement sets in. And it happens to you too when, you know, you lose your job, or your spouse is still carrying a certain attitude, or whatever it is, that we get discouraged, and it's easy for us to walk away from that strong belief that we already have in the Lord. So we doubt, we get discouraged. Third thing is we get impatient. And Abraham got very impatient. He thought, this blessing from the Lord to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, it's not happening yet. And so when his wife Sarah suggests that, "Well, you know what, I'm no spring chicken, and I haven't been able to bear you a child, why don't you go ahead and take my handmaiden and have a pregnancy through her?" Abraham doesn't argue, because he wants that blessing. A lot of you guys are thinking, "Yeah, I wouldn't argue either." But it wasn't like that for Abraham. He truly wanted to walk in God's favor and in God's blessing. So he's thinking, this is the way I can get a son. And Hagar bore him a son, Ishmael, who is the father today, he's known as the father of the Arab race. And the reason we have conflicts today between Israel and the Arabs is a direct result of Abraham's impatience. See, he just got a little bit ahead of God. How many times do we do that? We believe that God is going to come through, but we get a little bit impatient. So we think, all right, I'm going to help him out a little bit, and we begin to do our own thing. The fact is, you cannot hurry God. We must learn to trust him in his timing, because his timing is always perfect. You know, we can't get impatient and move ahead of him. And some of you right now, you're in that when stage of your life. The burning question you have with the Lord is when. When are things going to get better in my marriage? When am I going to get married? Bethany, you better not be thinking that. When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to get that job? When am I going to get that promotion? Over and over, the questions of when. When am I ever going to get well and get healthy? And we got to get to the place where we say, Abraham, believe the Lord and let God be God and do his perfect work in us, because God wants to do it. And a lot of times we don't have that answer to that question when, but what we have to do is just continue trusting in him and believing that his word is not going to come return void in our lives. We got to believe. We got to trust. We got to walk in that higher level of faith than we've ever walked, and not doubt, and not get discouraged, and not get impatient. So let's get back to the story of Abraham here, because this is where it gets very, very interesting. The story continues, and in Genesis 18, would you turn there right now? Flip over to Genesis 18, 9, and God visits Abraham and Sarah and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. It's coming. It's going to come. And in verse 9, it says, where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. They're in the tent, Abraham said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Verse 12 says, so Sarah laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? And then verse 14, please underline this in your Bible, put asterisks around it, circle it. God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. This statement, everybody, this morning, you cannot take lightly. You just can't do it. You got to put this into your system of faith. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we have to internalize this in a way that it shapes who we are as believers. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the fact is, in this story, it's an impossible situation. Impossible. She's past the age of childbearing, and so she laughs. But the truth is, God has the last laugh. In fact, they named him Isaac, their son, and Isaac means laughter. God has the last laugh on this one, because nothing is too hard for God. So listen, some of you this morning, you're worried sick about whatever your situation is, because you don't know how God is going to do it in your life. You're facing that impossible situation, and it scares you to death, and maybe you're discouraged because you don't know how. This is like the how question of life. Lord, how am I going to make ends meet this month? A lot of people have been asking that. How am I going to do it, Lord? I mean, it doesn't measure up. The money that I have and the bills that are due, how am I going to do it? How am I ever going to get out of debt? How am I ever going to handle all this pressure? How am I going to have time for Bible study and ministry? Lord, how in the world am I going to, are you going to get through to help my husband and get him back on track with you, Lord? Or how are you ever going to get through to that kid of mine? We have those how questions, and here's how I approach it. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And I've seen it over and over again in my life that nothing is too difficult for God. Is anything too hard for him? No, we got to rise up in our faith and not let the enemy get that foothold in our life, because we know that when we start doubting the goodness of God, we know that doubt is just a cousin of fear. And we know that fear has no place in the life of a believer. It's just not what we're called to. We're called to live out of perfect love, not fear. And perfect love drives that fear out of us. And we've got to recapture that love with God to where we know that nothing is truly too hard for him. There's nothing that's too hard for him. And for Abraham, it happens. He gets his son. Isaac is a gift from God. And he's beginning to see the fulfillment of this promise of blessing. He's beginning to see it. And then 12 or 14 years pass along. And then, as many of you know, God tests Abraham. God puts Abraham to a test. And God does this for me and for you, too, because it's part of his loving plan for us. Because without those tests and trials, we're not going to persevere. We're not going to mature. James says, consider it all joy, and very rarely do we do that, but consider it joy when you face these trials and circumstances, because it's God doing his work in us to mature us and bring us to full completion. And this is what God does to Abraham. God says, and this is one of the probably the most questioned stories in the Bible, because God asked Abraham, after Isaac, this promised child, is born, this miracle baby, after he's 12 or 14 years of age, God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to sacrifice your son. How could God make a request like that? I mean, that's a lot of people ask that today even. How could God make a request like that? Well, we now know what was happening, and we knew that God wouldn't let Abraham go through with it. And we know that it was God himself that actually did this, right? It was God that would do this. But Abraham didn't know any of this. He didn't have the Bible like we have to teach him what God's nature is truly like. And here God asked Abraham, I want you to give up your only son. In fact, this is the Cliff Notes version of the story from Hebrews. The writer to the Hebrews says this. Can we have this up here? Do we have this up here? Yeah. All right. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So here we have Abraham ready to sacrifice Isaac, who represented every single thing that God had given to Abraham. This is his beloved son. And Abraham is obedient. We know that he takes Isaac to the mount, and Abraham has this heart that pretty much says, everything I have, everything I've ever had, I owe it all to God. That's the place Abraham was coming from. Any demand you make on my life, God, I don't have any right to disobey you. This is a huge place for us to get to, where we can say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender whatever it is if you ask me to do that. And on top of that, Abraham figured that if God can give him a son at age 100, yeah, he could raise the dead. I mean, that was his confidence. And I believe that Abraham really believed that God was going to resurrect his son after he slayed him. And this story is found in Genesis 22. Let's read it together. Can we turn to Genesis 22? This story is so pregnant with so much meaning, even as we look forward to what Jesus would do on the cross for every single one of us. And it says in Genesis 22, starting with verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, here I am. Abraham said, here I am. And then in verse 2, it says, God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we'll come back to you." Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And now we know where that lamb truly is, right? We know that that lamb is the Son of God, but Isaac is confused. I see that we've got the fire ready to make the sacrifice. Where is the lamb?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him." And it doesn't say this, but I'm sure Isaac said, "Thank you, God." "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." That phrase, "the Lord will provide," in Hebrew it means Jehovah Jireh. In fact, if you have a King James version, it still says in there, you know, the place is called Jehovah Jireh. And it's one of God's names, Jehovah Jireh. The word Jireh literally means "the Lord sees." That's how he provides for us, because he sees. Isn't that a cool name, Jehovah Jireh? The Lord who sees and is willing to provide. That's Jehovah Jireh. He sees our needs. He sees our pain. He sees our hurts. He sees our difficulties. Every tear that you ever cry, he sees. He's Jehovah Jireh. He sees your concerns. He sees your struggles. And Jehovah Jireh is the God who provides at just his perfect timing. Not before Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah, but just at the perfect time, God provides. And this morning, I really believe the Lord is calling us to believe this in greater measures, that Jehovah Jireh, he is still Jehovah Jireh, the God that wants to intervene, the God who wants to provide, the God who wants to remind you, nothing is too hard for him. I know God as Jehovah Jireh. I know him as that name. A couple years ago when Bethany needed those braces and God miraculously provides a check, $5,000, out of the blue. We didn't even ask for it. We were praying, "Lord, how are we going to do this?" I mean, over and over again, I've seen Jehovah Jireh. I could just spend time telling you time and time again where God has provided for us. Just when, how are you going to do this? And almost effortlessly, Jehovah Jireh makes himself known in my life. And Jehovah Jireh, he wants to do that for you too. To not walk in doubt, to not walk in discouragement, to not become impatient and get ahead of his plan and take matters into your own hand and work it out. No, to let God be God in your life. And for you to know him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who still provides. Will he provide you the job? Yes. Has he ever let you down? No. Will he provide for you financially? Yes. Does it mean go out and spend carelessly and be a bad steward of your resources? No. We got to get it together a little bit, right? We got to put our faith into action and really wise up and follow God's principles for living. But is he going to let you down financially? No. Your marriage, is God going to just let it kind of keep that wall stay there? I mean, if you take matters into your own hand, yeah, you can let your marriage dissolve quite easily. But will God help your marriage, and will he be Jehovah Jireh with your family? Yes. Yes, he will. Will God give us a meeting place? Lord, please sooner than later. But is he going to do it? Yes. We're not going to be here forever. It's not God's plan for us. It's God's plan for us to have a place where we can meet all the time and grow together as a family. And this morning, you have to hear the Lord saying to you, I will bless you. Is anything too hard for me? I am Jehovah Jireh. And I want to challenge you to break out of the mold of faith that you have right now and to walk in a newness of trusting in God's promises, because this is the God we serve. And I know this for a fact. He wants to pour out such a blessing on your life that it's going to shake you, and it's going to shake your family, and it's going to shake your workplace. It's going to shake your world, because God loves you that much. And I want to encourage you to just say yes to that this morning. Lord, yes, I'm believing you, just like Abraham. But like Abraham, I'm not going to get ahead of you and become impatient. I'm going to trust you and your timing. As we close, I don't even know how to close the service, but just to say to you, just put your heart in that position where you're yielding, you're surrendering. You know, if there's a tug of war going on right now and you're wondering if this applies to you, or if you're wondering if I'm just crazy, first of all, I am crazy, but this does apply to you. It applies 100% to your life. We're going to enter 40 days of prayer and fasting beginning March 4th. I want to give you the heads up right now so you can kind of mentally prepare for that. And we're starting a new series called Position for Power. I love that. The Lord gave that to me when I was running. Position for Power. What position is that? It's on our knees. And we're going to be talking about the power of our words and the power of our prayers and the power of fasting and making sacrifices of food for the kingdom and for our families and for our lives. But I want just to encourage you to just even today in the next few weeks, begin thinking about this. Are you going to have the faith to do it? Are you going to say, oh, this is not for me, or you know, let's let them do it? But I'm really praying that it's going to be 100% participation, because God wants this to be a new season for Pathway of Hope. I know it. It's a new season. It's a new day. And it's time for us to just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to jump in the river. I'm not going to dip my toes in. I want all of you, because that's what God wants to give us. I'm excited about it. Be excited about it too. Lord Jesus, right now, I just pray for us, Lord, as a church family, Lord. Lord, we need more faith, Lord. And Lord, I know it's a decision that each of us can make. We don't pray for more faith, Lord. We do it. We take it. we put our place, we put our hearts in the place where we say, Lord, we're going to believe you. We're going to trust in you. We know that every single promise in your word, Lord, it's for us. We know that, Lord, that you've never failed us. We know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that we would have the courage to just go for the gusto with you, Lord, to go full volume with you, to just turn it up, Lord, to jump in the river of life, Lord. I pray that right now for myself, Lord. I pray that for every person here, Lord, that we would walk in this newness of life, Lord, that you want to give us. Lord, would you bless us, Lord. For those that don't have jobs this morning, that have lost their jobs this week or this last few weeks, Lord, I just pray right now you would bless them, Lord, with an even better job, Lord. While, Lord, while the economy is failing, I just pray, Lord, not for us, Lord, that we would just continue to just receive your blessings, Lord. Just like, Lord, your word says in Genesis 26, Lord, where Isaac wanted to leave the land because of the drought, and he wanted to go to Egypt, but the Lord says, no, stay there, and I'm going to bless you, Lord. And you do it, and you multiply his wealth, Lord. I just pray that over us, Lord, that even though the economy is going crazy, but you just prosper each one of us, Lord, because we're putting our trust and our faith in you. We're looking, we're seeking your face, Lord. And I just pray that we just have the confidence, Lord, to accept this challenge of new faith in you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for your love for each one of us, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand together.
And I want to take your word and shine it all around. You still me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never sink around. For my reward is giving glory to you. Oh, Lord, you're
Thank you for coming out today, everybody. Appreciate it. We're going to have prayer teams up here. If you need prayer for anything at all, come on up. Be prayed for. You guys are dismissed. Thanks a lot. Doing well, help me to never
Doing well, help me to never seek a crown for.